Well, I imagine that there is an art to getting rain gear on a three-year-old and Annie Dugan, and it's just one of the many arts of which she knows much. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Good morning. That is an art form that I would love to take a class in.
I can only imagine.
It is chaos embodied. We have a wonderful week of art ahead of us, of course, as always. Jeff Kallstrom is an artist who has been active in our community for over 25 years. He currently teaches at University of Minnesota Duluth. He has curated exhibitions. He curated exhibitions at the Duluth Art Institute. He's worked with artists. He is an artist, if there is such a thing as that. And he has a new show at the Nordic Center that is available both in person. So the Nordic Center is welcoming visitors in a safe way through the end of October. The exhibition runs just opened, and then it runs through the end of October. But it's also available online. The title of the show is wonderful. It is E is the A is the W. Jeffrey lets you figure out that puzzle yourself and enjoy the wonderful things that language does. I think that as we heard with Laura Erickson, that having, you know, birds and art and the crossover between the natural world and the art world, the crossover between language arts and visual arts is very rich as well. And Jeffrey incorporates a lot of his reading. He's just a voracious reader, and he's fascinated with the human ability to make myths and make stories and have this whole world beyond our own world. Excuse me. And so he's able to imagine a world, and part of this exhibition is all about imagining a world that is whole, rather than the one. I think there's a lot of folks who feel grief and uncertainty and are scared, and the ability for humans to imagine things that are outside of their own reality is really rich and wonderful. And he's able to draw on that for this particular exhibition. He does collage, printmaking, mixed media. The images themselves tell a story within them. There's figurative, there's owls, there's humans, there's wonderful, rich narratives going on. But there's also just optical patterning and this, obsession with what is beautiful and what looks wonderful. There's these circles, and you sort of, you almost get an idea of cellular separation between these circles and the colors that he uses in the work. So I think, and he talks about this, that there's this wonderful, that there's sort of these two levels that the exhibition is on and the new work is on. There's this obsession with the physical beauty, just the fact that we live in a world, and we can see it right now with the turning of colors, that we just live in this striking world where it can take your breath away. And so he is trying to create work that will take your breath away physically, that it is just that beautiful, but then also this beauty of humans to develop myth and create something beyond themselves. So E is the A is the W is at the Nordic Center, visible online and in person. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this something that surprised me, that it hasn't. So the Met, the museum, sort of the encyclopedic museum in New York, that is, they have a collection in the over the thousands, probably millions, of pieces, finally hired their first curator of Native American art. This to me was kind of shocking that this just happened this year. This is the first full-time curator of Native American art that the Met has had. her name is Patricia Norby. She is from the Puerpicha indigenous community in Michoacan, Mexico. And this is a really critical shift, and it's happening later than you might expect. in the presentation of Native American art. But I think that it's worthwhile to talk about because I think that we can look on a local level at, I think a lot of times we look outside of our own communities for the answers. And I think this is a case where the answers are our community and the richness that ACO and other community leaders, curators like Mary Zilliard, curators like Ivy Vineal and Wendy Savage, have been presenting the voices of Native American artists and Indigenous artists for quite some time. And I think it's important to see that the holding up of those voices and the kind of research and work on that kind of art is happening here. The beadwork exhibition that Ivy and Wendy curated that is available virtually in the ACO galleries is really, really important. I talked about it at length last week, but I think that this news of this hiring can be seen through a local lens as well. And then finally, I wanted to talk about seeing artists' studios. So when we think about virtual exhibitions, we think about the end product. But this is a time when there's an incredible richness in the sort of peeking behind the curtain and peeking behind the finished work into the artist's studio. And both the Whitney Museum of Art, as well as quite a few other places, I know the Duluth Art Institute has done this. The article that Lisa sent me was all about Thomas Cole's studio in Catskill, New York. For those who are sort of doing travel by keyboard these days and doing this kind of wistful travel through the internet, the Thomas Cole studios are wonderful to visit online. They're really beautiful, and it's really fascinating to see where he worked. And the same thing with the studio visits that the Whitney does and that other organizations do. It's really wonderful to see the landscape and the environment that shapes the artwork coming from these artists, both the natural environment as well as just the physical choices that they make in setting up their own studio. So I've sent Lisa a few links on those you can enjoy through KUMD's portal. And then one final just quick note that I just found out about this morning is that the Walker Art Center is inviting K-12 educators for their first virtual evening for educators. And I think this is really important because our educators we are really celebrating them during this really difficult time for them. And they're just doing, they are dressing three-year-olds virtually, which is even harder. And the work they are doing should be celebrated. And I love that the Walker Art Center is giving them some important tools. So if you're a K-12 art educator, I will send Lisa that link for an evening just for you. And that's our weekend art, Lisa. And a good one as always.
No kidding. And art everywhere. I had the chance to make a little road trip on Saturday out and back. And on the way out, I was very disciplined and I drove and I paid attention and I got where I needed to be on time, fairly close. And on the way back, doodled around and took a bunch of photographs like everybody else on the planet. I tell you, social media, if you're sick of social media, just scroll and look at the photographs. Every time you see red, orange, or yellow in a photograph going by, stop and look at it. And it's going to be absolutely gorgeous.
It's wonderful to see. Studies have shown that if you look back at the photos that you take, you will enrich the experience, the actual memory of that experience that you've had. So it's not futile to take pictures of leaves. It is beautiful and wonderful, and it's great to see because everywhere you turn, there really is something to capture. It's everywhere indeed.
And I don't know if other people are as tacky as I am, but you bet I take pictures deliberately for wallpaper. Anytime I see something, anytime I see something that makes me feel good inside, I shoot a bunch of photographs of it, and I make sure, even if photographically the horizontal orientation isn't what I would have chosen, just because I think I want to look at that. And there's going to come a time in November, December, January, February, March, April, May. where I am really going to want to look at this, and it's really going to make me happy. So
yes.
There you go. Annie, thanks a million. Let's talk again next week.
Thanks, Lisa.
Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art with Annie Dugan, a regular feature of Mondays here on Northland Morning.